I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll look at this section. Father, please fill our hearts this morning afresh with your Holy Spirit. Flood them with your word. Make our hearts places where nothing is off limits to you. Forgive us for quenching you. Take us this morning in sweet and true surrender. Make us wholly yours. Lead us by your Holy Spirit, that in you, Lord Jesus, we might abide, we might rest, that we might enjoy the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of your love for us. And we pray in your name. Amen. Next week we will begin a series in John's Gospel. I'm really excited for that. It's my favorite book of the Bible. And last time we were in it, you might remember we went quite slowly through. So we only finished up in chapter 12. And that itself was a mini-series, I think, only going from chapters 8 to 12. We're going to finish the book of the Gospel of John, God willing. And that will take us nicely right up to Easter. So that's where we're heading. Chapter 13 is where we'll begin next week. Lee's starting us off. And then over the next 10 to 12 weeks or so until Easter, we will be in John's Gospel. And a big thank you to those who are helping out. We're flooded with people to teach God's Word, and we're so thankful for it. You're pushing me off the roster. No, it's a real blessing, and it's a real gift. So we're thankful for that. But over the last 2 weeks, and including this morning, so 3 weeks, we're looking at resting in Christ. And I pray and trust that's been restful and helpful. Rejuvenating, and certainly these truths have been for me in this last season of sabbatical that I enjoyed last year. And we looked, you might remember in the first week, we looked at resting in Christ by coming to Christ, and we particularly looked at that verse where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We saw there that Jesus alone is the one who gives rest to the soul. He alone quenches the soul's thirst, that longing we have to be satisfied that only finds its satisfaction in God. We saw there too that the payment for our sin was made in full for our true rest to begin by his death and his resurrection. That's where we find our rest, inside of that, because of that. And this brings us this present joy for today. I hope we saw that. The present joy for today, the rest that we can enjoy, not just in eternity of rest, in the sense of Sabbath and rest and refreshment in God and satisfaction, but also for today. That has benefits for today. It's now and not yet, but it is now. Then last week we looked at resting in Christ by abiding in Christ, and probably for me, which has been kind of the richest text in the last few years of my life, has been John 15. We looked there especially and considered Jesus' words that apart from him, in verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said, which is pretty astounding thing to say. But also that he's given us his Spirit. He's not just saying you can't do anything without me, but he's given us his Holy Spirit, the power of God, to witness, to live, to love, and to serve for the Father's glory, to bear this fruit, Jesus says, to bear much fruit if you abide in me, if you live in me, if you dwell in me, if you rest in me. And we saw there too that it's so often fear that gets in the way of this true and complete surrender. It is for me. It's fear that if I surrender more and more of my life to God in all its fullness and give him everything, that somehow I will lose out in that process, that actually that will cost me more than I will receive. And we know that that's a lie. We looked at that especially last week. But walking by the Spirit, giving ourselves over to the Spirit in that daily, moment-by-moment dependence upon him, as Jesus says there, abide in me, so Paul writes in the same coin, if you like, two sides of the same coin, surrender to the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. In fact, they're one and the same thing. This surrendered life in which we find fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore at his right hand, and so on. In this deep and very sweet communion with Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit. I hope that's what you're enjoying in your life more and more and more, even as Lee's prayer reminded us, that we are daily, moment by moment, confessing our lack and our lack of surrender to the Spirit. But today, we move into the last of this mini-series of my reflections on resting in Christ. So resting in Christ by coming to Christ, resting in Christ by abiding in Christ, and finally today, resting in Christ by belonging to Christ. Resting in Christ by belonging to Christ. If it helps you, if you're this sort of person, you can think of these 3 weeks or these three ideas as three P's: provision, power, and placement. So the provision of Christ, the rest from striving and sin found in the finished work of Jesus' death and resurrection. So the provision of Christ for us, the power of Christ, that is the gift of the Holy Spirit to abide in Christ moment by moment. So provision of Christ, power of Christ, and today belonging to Christ, the P there is placement in Christ. We've been placed in Christ. We rest in Christ. We belong to Christ. God has placed us in Him. The language in the New Testament, there's probably not a more repeated theme, is there, than in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. This union to Christ, this communion with Him, this belonging to Him, being found in Him. We rest in Christ, dear brothers and sisters, by belonging to Christ, because we do belong to Him right now. Not tomorrow, not in eternity only, but right at this moment. Imagine that. Let's sit in that today and enjoy that. You know, I like to reread the passage that Trish has just so helpfully read for us, so I'm going to do that for us. Romans 1 from verse 1. Have a look with me at this portion again. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning or about his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by, this is how it was, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, through Jesus Christ, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. What a mouthful, right? So much in there. We're not focusing on that stuff, sorry. Including you, Paul says. Including you. He's writing to the church at Rome. He's writing to believers. So he's writing ultimately to us as well. To you, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, or God's holy people, God's holy ones. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning, how do you think of yourself? What I mean is this: how do you think of yourself, of yourself in the secret person or the secret place of the heart? How do you think of yourself, your identity, even maybe in the public place as well? I don't know how you think about your identity, who you really are. Maybe the first thing you think of is, I'm Australian. That's what I am. Maybe you think I'm Hungarian or Samoan or Tongan or Indian or Nepalese or Chinese, African, South African, whatever you think. How do you think of yourself? Is it that national identity? Is that the first thing you think of? Maybe it's you think of a male. You're a male or you're a female. Maybe that's how you think of yourself firstly. Maybe it's that you're a foreigner. You don't feel like you're anyone or anywhere. You certainly don't feel like you belong here. Maybe it's that you think of yourself not in those categories, but rather as a failure. You've just failed. Maybe you think of yourself in the secret place of the heart as fading. Oh, I used to have so much more control of my body. I used to be able to do this. I used to be able to do that. I used to be able to do. How do you think of yourself? When you think of yourself, how do you perceive yourself? What's that dominating sense of who you are and your purpose? Well, Paul says that for followers of Jesus, those in him, the overriding sense, the prevailing, dominant, fundamental, unchanging nature of who, the who of who we are, is as those who belong to Jesus. Verse 6 says, "You who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, those of him," literally, "of him." Our source is in him. We're found in him. We're united to him. We belong to him. We are his possession, which would be so horrible if you were anyone else's, right? We belong to him. Paul develops this idea further, in fact, when he says in the following verse, "Those who are loved by God, called to be saints." In Jude chapter 1, very similarly, and you know this language is all over the New Testament, not just here, but in Jude 1 it says, "To those who are called beloved," that means dearly loved, "beloved, dearly loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ." Isn't that beautiful? Dearly loved by God the Father and kept for Jesus because we belong to him. What is your true identity? What is it that keeps you? Who are you? What is it that gives true rest to your soul in the troubles of life? What gives peace and joy when trials come, when that hardship takes place that you could never imagine happening to you? When a great desire in your life is crushed, when an earnest request to God is not granted, he says no. What keeps you in that moment, in that difficult season, in that dark valley? What is it that keeps you? Who is it? Is it him? Is it Christ? Is it that you are dearly loved by God? Do you rest, even with so many tears, in that identity that he has proven, that God has purchased you for himself in Christ? That's how much he's loved you, that he sent his son for you. Friends, that's what the cross is about, of course. God rescuing his wayward people, but his people, who he loves. God choosing to love those who have, as the Bible puts it, hated him. Turn with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Or just turn with Junior on the screen, whichever way. If you haven't read Isaiah 43, I'm sure many of you have. Wow. Just wow. This is God speaking to his people, Israel, and of course through Christ it translates directly to us. And this is God speaking here, and we read this in Isaiah 43, verse 1. "But now thus says the Lord, Yahweh, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Isn't that beautiful? "You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass and through the water and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Wow. If you haven't chosen something for January, which is nearly over, maybe sit in Isaiah 43, 1 to 7. Isn't that beautiful? Just incredible words that God says here to his people and to us in Christ. God has always been about rescuing his chosen people. Many of us know the story about making sinners children of God. All throughout the story of the Bible, it's the same, isn't it? A broken, wayward, sinful people that God is redeeming by grace and ultimately doing that in Christ. Rest for the soul then is not found ultimately in a place. I hope you didn't come here this morning to this building to find your solace, but it's in a person. It's in Jesus, of course. It's in him. It's a person. He himself is our rest. Christ is our rest. Our identity is in him. We belong, brothers and sisters, to Jesus Christ, is what Paul is saying here. We are called to belong to him. That is the purpose for which God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, to belong to Jesus. So Psalm 62 says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. And if the purpose is to belong to Christ, the motivation of God is love. If the purpose is for us to belong to Christ and find identity in Christ, the motivation of God, the reason for this is because he loves us. That's as good as it gets. God loves us. Nothing else will give us rest. True satisfaction, true joy, true peace of the soul that we so desire, that our world desperately desires and needs, even sometimes without knowing it. This rest. Nothing will give us rest but he himself. We were made for him, and we're being remade in Christ to belong to him. To Jesus. There's that beautiful image that we won't look at today of the bride. We're the bride and Christ is the groom, and we're being prepared to meet him, our husband. As we've looked in weeks gone by, we find that rest in coming to Christ and abiding in Christ. But ultimately, this is all because of his grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that we belong to Christ. It's all his work. We are loved by God, we're chosen in Christ, and we're precious in his eyes, as Isaiah 43 puts it. Loved, chosen, precious. What more could we want? What more could we need? Loved, chosen, precious. To borrow the words from the psalmist, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. That's Psalm 139. He's talking about how well God knows him and how much God loves him. It's too wonderful for me. Even as I preach on this, even as I prepare to preach and say such words, you just go, wow. What do words do to convey such awesome truth? Loved by God, chosen in Christ, precious in his eyes. Brothers and sisters, such grace is needed from God, such help by the power of God's Spirit, for us to grasp just a glimpse into the glory of God revealed in this truth. It's so very incredible. Just to taste, as I have in this last season, just to taste a tiny crumb of its sweetness has been so restful for my soul. The Bible speaks of joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's found here. It's found only in Christ. It's found only in the Father's love for us in the Son. Truth that gives birth to worship and fruitful living to the Father's glory. In our blood bought belonging to Christ. As people have said, if you want proof God loves you, just look to the cross. He loved us so much, he gave us his one and only Son, who suffered a cruel death, who bore our punishment in our place. What is love if that is not love? We are his and he is ours. He is ours. Just incredible. Just learn. Let me encourage you, brothers and sisters. And I don't speak as one over you, but with you, alongside you. Let us learn to sit in the glory of this truth, that we are chosen, that we are precious, that we are loved. We belong to Him. We're precious to Him. Philippians 3:12 says, Paul's writing, and he says, "Not that I've already obtained all this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own." Listen to this. "Because Christ Jesus has made me His own." Isn't that beautiful? Christ Jesus has made me, He's made us His own. Our brother Paul, writing here, our brother Paul found rest for his soul from all the drama, from all the pain and suffering, the persecution, the imprisonment, the beating, the stonings. Remember, he's left for dead. They think he's dead. He's so beaten. What got him through this? Why would he give up literally being on the other side, receiving all the glory and praise and esteem that Pharisees so often did, especially in his role? He gives that all up for following this supposedly dead guy. He's beaten and imprisoned all his life and has an awful existence, as so far as the world would say. What gives him rest and joy and peace and ability even to carry on? He belonged to Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying to us here. "Because Christ Jesus has made me," Paul says, "His own. I belong to Jesus Christ." Our brother Paul found rest for his soul in this, and this is where we find rest. He wrote in Galatians 2:20, many people's favorite verse, probably one of my top ones, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And listen to this, and the life I now live in the body," or the flesh, "I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He loved me. How do you know that, Paul? He gave himself for me. Remember, Paul was Christ's number one enemy. And even when Paul was his number one enemy, Christ hung on that cross for him. He loved me and gave himself for me. So let me ask you, which well, which fountain are you running to in your distress? Which fountain, which well will you run to this year when things don't go the way you thought they would? And in fact, when they go much worse than that. In your hardship, in your difficulty, in your questions, in your depression, in your grief, in your sin, in your struggle, in your temptation, where will your soul find its rest? Sadly, there are so many broken cisterns, as the scripture says, that don't hold water, or whose water is so bitter and awful that in the end it leaves us thirsting for that true water even more, doesn't it? We run to all these fountains where we think, oh, yeah, this will satisfy, this will give me what I need, that rest that I need, this thing, that person, whatever it is, they don't measure up. Isn't that been your experience? It's certainly been my experience over and over again. But 1 John 3 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are," or that is what we are. "The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears," when Jesus appears, "we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is." See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. This is what we are now, today. Not only in eternity. It's not a ticket to glory. It's the experience of it now, presently, yes, a taste, yes, not its fullness, but it is our reality, is our identity right now. Beloved, we are God's children now, John says. Now. This is what we are today, at this very moment in Christ. This is where we can find rest today, at this very moment in Christ. We are God's beloved children, dearly loved, right now. It's not what we can earn or gain by living well or faithfully. It's not what we receive for doing better than we've done so far. Come on, guys, pick up the pace. Maybe you'll be loved by God in the end. No! All who have gone that way have what? Failed. That's what religion says. That's the distinction between religion and Christ, isn't it? What you can do to measure up. It's never good enough for the perfect holy God who shows us and proves that to us in sending his son for us. Because if we could do our own good, Jesus would not have died. Never that way. But only and ever by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Romans 8 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, that is, sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Didn't Paul know that as he wrote it? Suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. But to be fellow heirs with Christ, heirs of God, children of God. I couldn't finish this morning without reading from John 17. I just think this is one of the most incredible scriptures that is ever in the Bible. I'll read it. John 17. This is Jesus praying. He's just about to have Judas come and kiss him to show that he's the one he'll be betrayed. In just a few minutes, this is his last prayer to the Father, if you like. Well, not really. He's on the cross praying. But this is his prayer to the Father, his high priestly prayer, they call it. He's praying for his immediate disciples, but then he turns the prayer to pray for us, to pray for those who will hear the word through him. It's so worth a read. Please go home and read John 17. It's just so enjoyable. But Jesus is praying. He's just about to be betrayed, and he says this right towards the end of his prayer. He says this, verse 20, "I do not ask for these only," his disciples that is, "but also for those who believe in me through their word," that's you and me, brothers and sisters, "that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so the world may believe that you sent me. The glory you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Listen to this. "I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." I can't believe this is in the Bible almost. Jesus is saying the Father's love for us, I'll just read his words, "You loved them even as you loved me. Just as you love me." May our Father grant us eyes to see and so enjoy these truths more and more and more. That the Father loves those who believe in his Son, even as he loves the Son. It seems hard to even take in that Jesus would say these words, if you know what I mean. Such an awesome truth that God loves us, even as he loves the Son. Brothers and sisters, those who have put their faith in Jesus, their trust in the Lord Jesus, he is our King, he is our Savior, we belong to him. We are loved by God. We are dearly loved and very precious to him. Yes, even you, even me, failed as we are, sinners as we are, forgiven, freed, loved, chosen, accepted, justified, sanctified, yes, even glorified, now in the dearly beloved Son, our King Jesus. Brothers and sisters, can't you taste the joy in your soul from this profound and most wonderfully sweet truth? What in the world What in the universe, what in the heavenly realms can shake that joy if we sit in it? Trouble, suffering, distress. What about persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor COVID nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We belong to Christ. We rest in this truth that we belong to him. If that doesn't bring joy to your soul, I've got nothing else. We've got nothing else. You are loved by God. You are loved by the Father. You are loved by the Son and the Spirit. You are chosen and precious in his eyes. And our rest is always and ever and only will be for eternity found in him, in Christ. Through him and for whom, through him and for him, for whom all things were created. And so too, we were called to God, called by him to belong to Jesus Christ. What wondrous truth, what glorious glory that we belong to, that we are loved by him. I pray you'd enjoy it this year. I pray in this season you might enjoy the rest that you were made to enjoy, even when the world is falling apart around you and it feels chaotic in your very soul. May you find rest in God alone. Let me pray. Oh, dear Father, we thank you, we praise you together this morning. Who am I? Who are we to speak such profound, wonderful truths? Who are we that you would lavish us with such incredible love, and yet you have loved us so, with such an everlasting and steadfast and wondrous love? You've chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. You've called us to belong to him. We belong to him right now, your beloved, your dearly loved son. And this is because of that great love with which you, Father, have loved us. We are yours. We're precious in your eyes. Help us to see. Give us grace. Give us eyes, Holy Spirit, to see and enjoy this status in Christ that we're dearly loved. Father, cause us by your grace, through your Spirit, to believe, to soak this in, to live in this place, to abide in your love. And therefore I pray that our hearts would flow like rivers of living water, pouring out this love that you have so kindly and so freely and so lavishly poured into our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen.